Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 3rd of August, recording at 9:08 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asian stock markets, we saw a few downward dynamics. I think Taiwan and also South Korea were among them in a generally easier tone. Japan got clipped for another 2%, and Hong Kong was down nearly 2%, and Australia clipped for 2.25%. The European stock markets were quite weak, closing out on the lows of the day. Now, they'd reversed some early gains, and DAX, for instance, down 2.3% today. Sweden down 3%. And the UK FTSE index down 2.34% to 5,584. In the Americas, Brazil, which is been in a steady downtrend for a while now, lost another over more than 2%. But what was interesting, Wall Street, which was weak at one stage, I think down about 120 on the Dow actually closed up nearly 30, better gain on the S&P 500 index at 1260, up 6.25 points. And the NASDAQ, which is often a leader, up a bit bigger percentage than that, up 0.89% on the NASDAQ composite. Now, in long-dated government bonds, prices were, I was just about to say, a little firmer in here today. That's true of the, well, the U.S. 10-year, I see, is unchanged, and the 30-year is up 9 ticks. That's well off the high. And gilts also a little higher in here today. Elsewhere, the U.S. dollar index slipped down to 74, and euro rose to 143.21 against the greenback. Aussie dollar down a little bit, 107.52, and sterling up to 164.26 against the greenback. One of the bigger stories of the day was a rate cut in Switzerland, which has been fretting, the central bank has been fretting about the strength of the Swiss franc, not surprisingly. And the dollar-Swiss rate, which had been at a low of 76.7610, bounced up to 7.7788 before falling back. It's still up on the day, but it's retained only a half of its gains overall. More on that in a moment. Industrial metals were all weaker. Gold and silver were strong. Gold up over a dollar and a half as I speak at 41.67, has been a little bit higher. And gold bullion, now I see gold bullion's just slipped to the downside. It's at 16.60. The high on the day was 16.72.80. More on that in a moment. The soft commodities were pretty well all lower here today, and all the ones that I've looked at any rate, and I can see quite a few of them. Now, crude oil, this is really quite interesting here. Crude oil had a big drop in here today. Brent, which Well, let me start with WTI, which has been trailing well behind Brent all along and had come off sooner. But that was down $1.85 as I speak, down to 91.94, so just below $92. And Brent was down over $3 today to just above the $113 level. More on that in a moment. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we're certainly seeing some deleveraging. We have seen a bit of capitulation selling in stock markets, as I mentioned yesterday, and that's not least been evident in the European stock markets. But when you take the S&P 500 index, we've also seen some of it there because we had 8 days to the downside, and that's a bit unusual here. I think it's been a while since that's happened before breaking that string of consecutive daily declines in here today. And we've seen the least evidence of capitulation selling in Asia. There's been very little of it, actually. Some of those markets have been underperforming for a while, India, China, for instance, but we haven't seen any panicky action here recently. But we have in Europe, and the U.S. has seen a little bit of it, but not so much as not so much as Europe. And then we also in South America, we have seen a bit of it, and particularly Brazil. It's been less, it hasn't been panicky so much, but it's been some just a steady, persistent decline, as I mentioned earlier on. So we're still in this corrective phase, which certainly has produced now a number of overall top formations that we can see on the charts. How far those top formations, and some of those have been completed, and how far those top formations push markets to the downside is the next big question, and the charts will show us on that. But let's put it this way: I would assume that markets go lower until we see evidence to the contrary. And our worst case scenario at Fuller Money for a number of months has been that we could get a short, hopefully short, bear market. Hopefully not more than a short bear market, but that was a distinct possibility. And the main reason for that has really been the spike in commodity prices, particularly crude oil, which has always caused trouble for GDP growth, and also the stock markets. Although almost no headline or other commentator has been mentioning that, Owen and I have mentioned it on a regular basis, on a daily basis in these audios. But people have been focused on the European sovereign debt problems, and that remains serious. Although I want to point out today that the Spanish and Italian yields did come back down a little bit. The crisis is obviously far from resolved, and at Fuller Money, we don't think that it'll be that they can really get a long-term grip on it without a good deal of fiscal consolidation, and that's going to take plenty of time to achieve. And then, if you look at what's going on in terms of the last package that stabled, sorry, that steadied markets for about 24 hours, none of the measures that had been agreed upon can actually be implemented in before September because everybody's going on holiday here. You know, those bureaucrats need their 5 weeks in the sun. So, says he enviously. No, not really, though. So I didn't lose my don't lose my track here. Some short-term oversold indicator conditions are evident. Sometimes new subscribers say, "Well, how do you get a short-term opinion on that? Is it just a hunch where you can look at the chart and you can see when if something's fallen about 8 days, like Wall Street, it's certainly going to push the stochastic indicators, which you can see in the chart library, down to short-term oversold levels." But to repeat myself on an important point, it's now for the bulls to prove. I don't think we've got more scope here on Wall Street for more than a bit of a dead cat bounce. Although sometimes the bounce is following bigger decline, sometimes the bounces are really quite sharp when you get short covering coming in. Now, looking at the global bond futures prices, here they've continued to push higher. I mean, astonishingly, to me at any rate, those gilt futures prices have moved back up to their highs, and astonishing to me because I certainly don't regard the UK debt market as something that's attractive, but people seem to be focusing on only one factor, whether or not a government can print its own currency. If that makes long-dated government bonds attractive in some people's eyes, so be it. Not in my book, but it's all, you know, these short-term swings are all about sentiment, and people have certainly flocked to gilts and to the bunds and to U.S. treasuries over the last few weeks. Those charts are becoming overextended on the upside, and they are also approaching, actually, gilts are back at prior resistance, but we would need to see, of course, some downward dynamics fairly soon, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that regardless of what stock markets do. But the main point is the downward dynamics are required to check the momentum on those bond moves. Now, let's talk about the precious metals in here, and I find it endlessly fascinating, as an aside, to see what gold actually responds to. And you know, people are always telling us that gold is this or that, or it's an Armageddon story, or that it is an inflation story, or whatever. But it's a movable feast. And if you've been following this closely, and many of you I know have, that you can remember not that many months ago when gold seemed to be quite well correlated to Wall Street. Didn't make a whole lot of sense in my mind, except that there was a lot of liquidity sloshing around, and it was sort of distributed among various assets that people regarded more highly, and gold was among them, and so were stock markets. So I suppose there's definitely a logic to that. But today, we have the opposite situation, and you can see it here. Not that I want a screen watch, I try to avoid it, but you can't help noticing that when, and this has been the case now for at least the last fortnight, that when Wall Street is weakening, and then gold and silver are moving up, and when Wall Street steadies, narrows its narrows its losses, let alone shows some gains, then the gold and silver markets tend to give up some of their gains, and that I've been very, very aware of here and recently, and it tells me that tells us all that fear is is really in the driving seat here right now. Not not the liquidity factor as previously seen. And it sometimes, of course, gold responds more to inflation pressures, and probably, I would say almost certainly, that buying in India, for instance, and buying in China would reflect those inflationary concerns. But it's endlessly fascinating, and I think that the lesson for me in that is don't try to compartmentalize any market, particularly an important one such as gold, in terms of the influences that are going to move it over any given period. Okay, now Owen's done a good chart review, a very good chart review here today, and it includes gold, which is somewhat overextended on its 200 relative to its rising 200-day moving average. It's not hugely overextended, although it's been a persistent advance because it had a fair amount of ranging before this latest overall move to the upside. But whenever we see, you know, we do use these MAs on a regression basis, and the more overextended gold does get relative to its rising 200-day moving average, the more susceptible it becomes in time, if not price, to an eventual reversion. I don't think that's a big risk here in the short term, but I am also conscious of the fact, as are you no doubt, that the gold is moving a bit ahead of schedule. So we can't rule out the possibility that we do get some ranging consolidation here during the month of August. If we do, I think that would be healthy in terms of the overall price action. I don't think we'd get a big downside move. And but anytime markets that are in secular as well as short to medium term upward trends, anytime they consolidate gains, that's good in my view because it lowers short term risks and prevents the market from getting too far ahead of itself. But needless to say, the current form that gold has shown has been awesome. And if it doesn't pull back, and if it just does keep going on upwards in here as we go through August and enter that seasonal period from September on through the end of the year and well into, if not all the way through, the first quarter of the next year, that would tell us that a good many more people are actually purchasing bullion, and that would be consistent with the overall increase of interest in a market as a bull market cycle progresses. Now, what else to mention here? Crude oil. So we have the global slowdown, as you know, and my feeling is that crude oil has been a very, very big factor. Sure, for periphery European countries, the debt problems and the austerity measures are a bigger factor, but for most of the world, and including the growth economies, the crude oil price is very important in all this. And my concern a couple of weeks ago was that we might see that Brent oil push up above the $120 level and go back and test its highs. But no grounds for complacency here, but it has fallen back to 113 and a little bit of change. And if that continues to head lower, that will be extremely good news for the medium term. Might not have any impact. I don't think it would have any impact short term. But yesterday I talked about a reset mechanism. You know, if deleveraging in these markets continues, and I think there's a very good chance that it will, meaning stock markets go lower and a good many commodities go lower. Among commodities, the exceptions could be precious metals, Although if we get too, if we were to get really heavy capitulation selling, which is a possibility. I don't think it's by any means a certainty, but it is a possibility. But were that to happen, I think gold would be pulled down as well as we saw back in 2000 and so as we saw back in 2008. But to the extent that commodities in general, and not least crude oil, move lower, that is, as I just mentioned, good news for the medium term for the global economy. And I'm sure they would heave a sigh of relief in India and China, where we've had lots of interest rate hikes, also in Brazil. Now, we're not there yet. We would need to see those commodities move a fair bit lower. And to repeat a point I've made in other audios, I don't think that will happen without an additional fright in stock markets, driving stock market valuations down a little bit further. And some of those are beginning to get to, well, not beginning, they've just becoming extremely interesting in some of the growth markets. Brazil, for instance, Owen and I were looking at that today, and the P/E ratio is down at 8 on the IBOV index, and the yield is up to 4%. These are attractive valuations, and valuations in a number of these growth economies are some of the best that we see in the world. They vary, of course, but I've just given you one example of extremely attractive valuations, although the current stock market action in Brazil is still unfavorable. But the lower it goes, the more interesting it becomes on a medium to longer term basis. So, interesting times overall, and certainly some risks, but also some good opportunities here as well. Particularly if you've been running some longs in gold and silver. And on that note, all the best.